At the beginning of this talk, I said that I wanted to show how you practice in the depths of the mind, how to bring about paravritti, the revolution in the basis. Harquin's Shattering of the Ice Field is a description of that revolution in the basis, that dissolving of a dualistic consciousness. Of course, there were further stages to go for him. But I think it's clear that the revolution in the basis comes about through intensive and constant spiritual practice. But we need, it's not just a question of intensive and constant. What we in fact need to do is to take our practice, our faith, our commitment, our determination, our great doubt, right into the alia itself, into the deepest part of our being. We need to start practicing in the alia. At first, this simply means constant repeated practice. In the koan tradition of Zen, you just keep up the questioning in all aspects of the day, whatever you're doing, whether you're working, whether you're meditating, whatever, you just keep it going. But I think we could also say it's about keeping up constant mindfulness, constant awareness, or constant metta through all times of the day, or constant recitation of mantra throughout the day, or constant reflection on impermanence throughout the day. Whatever, you keep it going. And the aim is to keep it going in dream, in deep sleep, even in death. A stream of meditation, a stream of contemplation going on all the time. This is dwelling in the depths, dwelling in the alia. And in the Zen tradition, the teacher's job is to keep you there, keep you in it. And that's not easy because we want to be superficial. We want to be on the surface. And there's a beautiful story here of Ta Hui, great 11th century Chinese master and the disciple of the great Yuan Wu himself, the compiler of the Blue Cliff Record. And Ta Hui had been practicing under Yuan Wu for some time in his monastery, and Ta Hui had done a lot of this questioning meditation, koan meditation. And he'd had some great experiences. In fact, he thought he was enlightened. He'd awakened. And he told Yuan Wu, the old boy, he was getting on now, Yuan Wu, he told him clearly, "Well, I'm enlightened now. Will you acknowledge my enlightenment?" And Yuan Wu said, no, you're not enlightened. And Ta Hui thought, "The old fool. Well, he's not enlightened because he doesn't recognise my supreme enlightenment." So Ta Hui decided that he was just going to leave Yuan Wu and go off and become a teacher himself. But Yuan Wu warned him. He said, "If you go, you'll get sick and it won't work out well." And Ta Hui thought, you know, the poor old fool, he's really lost it. He's getting very stupid. He must be a bit senile, a bit attached to me. So he just left. Travelled about proclaiming his enlightenment and gathering quite a following of disciples. Some people really love it if you say you're enlightened. Makes them feel so secure. It's much easier when you've got an enlightened master. You're very safe. And one day, of course, Ta Hui fell seriously ill, fell sick, and fell into a coma, a deep unconscious state, fell into the alia. And when he came to, he realised that whilst he was unconscious, he'd lost his koan. He'd lost awareness. His awareness wasn't continuous. He'd lost it. He suddenly realised, gosh, I'm not what I thought I was. And he managed to get well after worshipping the Buddhas. He really was very ill. And he returned to Yuan Wu with real humility. And he just got on with meditating and practicing and just doing the daily chores around the monastery, just like everybody else, meditating and working in the kitchen, in the gardens, in the fields. And Yuan Wu, the old boy, kept an eye on him. And he said one day to Ta Hui, he said, "Let's go for a walk." So, you know, there's the old boy and the young disciple, and they go for a walk and they come to a great waterfall, wonderful waterfall. And at the bottom of the waterfall, there's a deep whirlpool. And they're looking at it, and, you know, the old boy's saying, "Oh, you know, nice waterfall." And then suddenly, with an incredible strength, Yuen Woo just grabbed Tarqui and just thrust him into the water, into the whirlpool. Just held him in there until he nearly drowned and then pulled him out and pushed him down again. Superhuman strength, he's a sort of demented old man, you know, just dunking his disciple repeatedly. And at some point, Yuen Woo asked Tarqui a koan question, something strange. And Tarqui just answered clearly. He said it was as if the two of us were sitting in a room together. Everything was still and calm and clear, and I was utterly awake, even though there's this old man just dunking him up and down, even unto the edge of death. Tarqui really had awakened. He'd passed through the gateless gate. He was always awake. This is what the Master does. He keeps you in the depths. He inspires you to continuous deep practice, and just pushes you into the alaya all the time. So I take the whirlpool. Yeah, I'm sure it happened. But I think it's also a metaphor. The Master just keeps you dunked all the time. So that's where we should aim our practice. Continuous deep practice in meditation, in daily life, in sleep, in dream, in illness. You really know if your practice is something if you keep going during illness. In death, in emergency, your practice is just one stream of practice. Then there can be the revolution in the basis, the turning around in the deepest seat of consciousness, when we just break the prison of all our ideas and notions of space, time, self and other. They just shatter.